Hello and welcome to Comics with Normies. I'm Jared Albrick, also known as the Yard Sale Artist. In Comics with Normies, I use my yard sale powers. I go out and about. I find comic books at yard sales. I pick random ones. And I give them to people I know that aren't exactly comic book people. They read the issue. We discuss it on the show. We get the outsider's point of view of what comics are like to people who don't read a lot of comics. Our guest today is Clint Head. He's an old friend of mine. But before I get into talking too much about Clint, let's see what Clint has to say for himself. Welcome to the show, Clint.
Well, thank you, Jared.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you want the people at home to know? You don't, you know.
I'll keep out the sordid details.
There you go.
In my life. Yeah, as far as comics go, I read a lot when I was younger. But, you know, as age, I haven't really kept up with it as much. Hobbies. You know, I like sports. I'm in sports. I used to be a high school coach. Now I'm in a different line of work. I'm still active in that. Like working out, you know, like movies, things of that nature.
Yeah. Clint is a big movie guy. If anybody out there needs to write into the show with a question about anything to do with movies, especially horror movies, Clint probably knows the answer.
Yeah, I'm pretty good with horror movies.
He's a big horror movie guy. And just to brag on him a bit, not only was he used to be a high school coach, but he did coach a state championship team here in Alabama. We're all very proud of Clint about that. Now, these days, you do like referee work.
Yeah, I do. I officiate high school football games.
So he's that guy. He's that referee that everybody hates.
Everybody hates me.
So, like you said, you did a little comics when you were younger. How old were you when you were into comics?
Probably 7 till probably 13, 14. I was in it. I really like Captain America. I did read a lot of X-Men, some Spider-Man, more than Marvel Comics, what I was more into back then.
All right. And then in the expanded comic book world, do you have any of the comic book-based movies that you're particularly fond of?
Well, yeah, I love the new Marvel movies. You know, starting with the Iron Man, as we were setting up for the Avengers, I like the Iron Man. The Hulk was really good. The Incredible Hulk was really good, put it that way. Not the Eric Bana one.
You think you can live with it? Take it! Take it all!
The Eric Bana one was still early in Marvel's goings.
Right. They got it right.
Ed Norton, that one.
Yeah, was Incredible Hulk. Right, Captain America, the Thor movies. You know, I've been a big fan of the Marvels. DC's come along. I like the Batman versus Superman. You know, I like that. So hopefully their movies are starting to get better.
Did you see? Did you get to Suicide Squad?
I did not. Have not seen Suicide Squad yet.
It's a fun one.
I heard it was.
Fans will be divided on it, but
yeah.
Okay, cool. And what about video games? You do any superhero video games?
The only superhero video games I played are the Batman Arkham series. I played Arkham Asylum. Yeah,
those are good. City.
Yeah, those are good. Those are really fun. I enjoy those a lot.
Well, if you're only going to play one superhero video game series, the Arkham series is fantastic.
Yeah.
So folks at home are probably at this point kind of wondering, okay, what comic book did Clint get for homework? And what kind of funny is it kind of sounds like it's a little bit out of his wheelhouse, because he said he was reading from when he was about 7 to 14. I think that was back in the early 50s.
Yeah, 1875.
I make fun of Clint because he's so much older than me. He's about 8 years older than me. Would this have landed in when you were reading? Were you reading in 80?
It was just the early 80s, maybe.
Okay. Because the book I gave Clint is Uncanny X-Men number 140 from 1980. So this has been a little before you started reading books?
Yeah, it would have been around that time, but you know, I didn't follow. I didn't read every issue that came out. I just kind of picked and choose.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you don't have much money. Just kind of whatever you have money in your pocket. Plus, whatever's on the rack is
right. That's what ended up walking.
Getting. You said you were a Captain America.
Oh yeah, I like Captain America a lot.
It's cool. Yeah, that's a great book. So Clint got, like I said, X-Men number 140. I think it's the November or December issue from 1980. Those of you who are big comic book people will probably already figure out this is the very well thought of run on X-Men by Chris Claremont, who was the writer, and John Byrne was doing the art. And this is very much a golden age of the comic. We will discuss X-Men 140 with Clint right after we take a quick podcast promo break and see what other great shows are out there that you could be listening to. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pat, and I'm the host of a new podcast called The Longbox Crusade, A while back, my wife said to me, "Why do you keep buying more comics? I bet you have not even read all the comics you have already." Well, she's right, but let's keep that between you and me. So I took her up on the challenge to read them all. I decided to read my collection of comic books in chronological order by the issue's cover dates. I wanted to relive their adventures and bring back the memories I had of my childhood in the late 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond. My collection has been stashed away in over 20 plus long boxes in the basement. I'll leave it up to your imagination as to why I cannot have them on display upstairs, but that's a different story. The Long Box Crusade podcast will be of recaps and reviews of the issues in my collection in a fun and friendly way. You can find the podcast at longboxcrusade.com. I hope you will join me on this crusade to read them all.
Okay, welcome back from the break. That's a friend of the show is Pat Sampson and his Long Box Crusade. I've guest hosted on that show a couple of times. I can't recommend it enough. Pat does a great show, so everybody be sure to check that out. Okay, so we're back with Clint Head, guy who's into sports and working out, and he liked comics when he was younger, and now he's gone back and into the world of comics with X-Men number 140. So let's start off by talking a little bit about the story. Just from an outsider's point of view, Clint, what did the story seem to be about from your point of view?
The biggest part of the story dealt with the Wendigo, and it was set in Canada. And the Wendigo apparently was kidnapping, taking people, apparently eating them. And Wolverine and Nightcrawler from the X-Men were up there. They were teamed up with Alpha Flight. Now, I'm not going to lie, I'm not real familiar with Alpha Flight up in Canada. So those characters are a little bit new to me. But that's where most of the story seemed to focus.
Yeah, and he's right. It's a fairly simple issue where the vast majority of the story is basically Wolverine and Nightcrawler in Canada tracking down the Wendigo. I'll admit a little bit. We cheat a little bit, obviously. Clint and I talked about this a little bit before recording, and I asked him, "Hey, had you ever really heard of Alpha Flight? And had you even heard of them?"
No,
never even heard of them.
No, I never even heard of them.
They were, yeah, they was a fairly popular comic in the 80s at about this time. But again, it's a Canadian superhero team. I assume the book probably sold better in Canada. I'm only sort of tangentially aware of it. You know, I've never really gotten into the mythos of Alpha Flight. It's always kind of seemed interesting, but a few of the Alpha Flight members make it into this issue to work with Wolverine and Nightcrawler. Pop quiz,
hotshot.
There were three of them. You remember who they were? Go.
It was Vindicator, the Shaman, and can't remember the girl.
Snowbird.
Okay. Snowbird. Yeah.
Right, and from what you gleaned in the book, what do you think? Like one at a time, Vindicator. What is his?
He powers? Seemed to have some kind of energy power, energy shield, energy blast, things like that. That's what it seemed to have.
That's about all. I know a lot about comics. That's about all I know about him too. To be honest with you, I'm not a big Vindicator guy. I'm not anti-Vindicator. Just don't know much about him. Shaman, what you got?
He seemed to be more of like a mystical, casting spells, that kind of like almost like Doctor Strange kind of.
Right, and then Snowbird.
It appeared to me that she could change into different animal forms.
I thought Snowbird's power would be to move from Michigan to Florida every winter.
Yeah, jokes.
See what I did there?
I saw you're talking about the older people that move down right to the warmer climates.
Commonly known as
Snowbirds.
Snowbirds. Yeah, right. Very good. Okay, so given what you've read, did the comic do a good job of kind of, you landed in one issue, what I'm asking is, what do you think kind of happened before this issue? Did the comic do a good job of kind of bringing you in?
Yeah, it did. One thing I kind of picked up on, and again, you know, I'm not by any means an X-Men expert, but it seemed like Wolverine was still relatively new to the group, because early in the issue, the Angel was talking to Dr. X. Mr. X.
Professor X.
Professor X,
right?
Yeah, Professor X, and he's there, kind of getting to know Wolverine, and Professor X is talking about how he already sees his leadership abilities. So it seems to me he's still relatively new to the group.
Right, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think Wolverine first appeared, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years before this came out-ish. And, yeah, I think he was relatively new to the team. I think the new team basically came around. I'm sure there's X-Men fans out there know exactly when they came around, but I would say it's in the upper 90s of Uncanny X-Men when Wolverine joined the team. So he's been around about 40, 45 issues now. And then, and you're right, they're still kind of feeling him out. Now, I didn't ask you, I quizzed you on Alpha Flight. I didn't quiz you on Wolverine or Nightcrawler because I assume you're familiar with them just from your childhood.
Right, just from the X-Men I looked at, right.
In the movies.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Cut that off.
Okay, then.
Interesting side note that you probably didn't know about issue 140 and what happens next in the story. The very next issue kicks off the Days of Future Past storyline, which you're probably familiar. You saw
Thanks
the movie.
For the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Saw the movie.
It came to be kind of a famous storyline because of the Days of Future Past movie, and that starts in the very next issue in 141, which I kind of thought was interesting. So, we talked about the powers and the abilities of some of the key characters in the comic, and I think we all were in agreement there. So far, it seems like this comic is doing a pretty good job of bringing in a new reader. The story wasn't terribly confusing.
Right. No, it was pretty straightforward.
And the characters, they sort of described the characters well, so you didn't leave you scratching your head for a lot of things. Did anything in the book confuse you like you just kind of did leave you scratching your head?
Yeah, a little bit. There was a little excerpt in there with Storm and Kitty. Kitty, I can't remember.
Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde. Right. It was just a very short little snip on that. And it had really nothing to do with the rest of the story. I thought it was kind of an odd throwing that in there.
Yeah.
So I didn't see where it played into anything that was going on.
Yeah, there was definitely, they're cooking a subplot there between Storm and Kitty Pryde. And I guess it was Kitty Pryde's, like, dance instructor.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I have this vague memory of that. And I know it's going somewhere, but I don't remember where. And I could see where a subplot, an unexplained subplot like that, would kind of confuse a new reader. Like, what's this all about? Like, why is this? I mean, at least you knew it was Storm, and you're familiar with Storm. And maybe a little bit Kitty Pryde. I think she was in a couple of them.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with her. I don't remember her a lot. I do remember Storm. And in the very beginning of it, had Colossus. But he was pretty much just on the first page.
Yeah, great drawing, though, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it was.
It was.
A good drawing of Colossus. Right. And then, yeah, he was like chopping
he was removing a stump, pulling a stump up, and the angel came by and talked to him. And that kind of led into the angel's discussion with Professor X. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of odd just having Colossus there, that one little page.
All right. What was your favorite moment in the comic? Just like, oh, that's really cool. You know, the moment you thought sort of defined this issue.
It would probably be the fight with the Wendigo, with Wolverine, the Wendigo. And then Nightcrawler coming back in after he'd, you know, basically got his butt handed to him the first time.
Yeah. Nightcrawler's not on Wendigo's power level.
Nah, he wasn't. He proved that in the first round.
Did it say, I don't remember, you read it a little more recently than me. Did it say, because like, it was like basically one-on-one Nightcrawler versus Wendigo.
Yeah, right.
And then the others showed up, and that's kind of how they defeated him.
Right, and then he ran off, Wendigo did.
Did it ever explain why Nightcrawler was one-on-one with him? How he got separated from the group? I can't remember.
Not really, I just remember he came upon him.
Oh, he did. He's like, oh, there's the Wendigo.
Yeah, right.
Too bad I'm just Nightcrawler.
Yeah, he didn't turn out well for him.
Yeah, looking at a Hulk-level villain. As I was explaining to Clint yesterday, too, this is kind of a neat story to read because you get Wolverine versus Wendigo. And for those of you who are strong in comic book history, you'll know that Wolverine's first full appearance in Incredible Hulk 181, he fought with Hulk and the Wendigo. So it was kind of almost a homecoming episode for those of us who know a lot about comics. Clint, obviously,
I did not know that. But they did reference the Hulk in the issue.
They did. They did. So do you have any other comments on the story? Things you liked, didn't like, anything like that?
No, again, it's pretty straightforward. I wish they would have some of the other X-Men in it. I understand what they're doing with the story, just with the two kind of being isolated. But, yeah, I mean, I like more of the group, you know, the Beast, Cyclops.
Did it read well for you? Was it
a
brisk read, a painful read?
No, it was really easy. It was an easy read.
Easy read.
I think it got a little bit wordy sometimes.
I was about to say, some people think, and I'm one of those people, I'll be honest with you, Chris Claremont can be a little wordy, and you picked up on that too. But not bad. Like you said, it's not bad.
Yeah, it was still an easy read.
Chris Claremont comes from a school, especially in the 80s, where there was a lot of thought bubbles. You saw how there were thought bubbles involved.
Yes.
And there's comic readers are kind of split on whether or not they like thought bubbles or they don't like thought bubbles. I'm in the camp where I'm not a big fan of them. I think if you can't show a character's intentions through their words and their deeds, then you could do better. I'm definitely not saying Chris Claremont could do better. He's fantastic in his own right, so don't take me wrong. But I'm not a big Thought Bubbles guy. Do you have thoughts on Thought Bubbles? That's deep.
That is very deep. Yeah, thinking about Thought Bubbles. Yeah. No, not really.
You're cool with Thought Bubbles, whatever comes. Yeah. Kind of laid back. Yeah. That's important. Well, cool. All right. So that we've talked a bit about the story. Let's talk a bit about the art of the book. Let's look at the cover first. And we had to actually print out a cover because the issue that I got for Clint, the one that he selected from the yard sale stack, actually didn't have a cover. One for it had no cover. So I had to go find a cover on the internet and print it out so Clint could see what it looked like. And so now I'm interested in your thoughts on the cover.
Well, it's good. I like the Wendigo. They did a good job drawing the Wendigo.
He looks like a real life Wendigo.
He does. It does.
Every Wendigo I've ever seen looks just like him.
Yeah, and you know, again, there's a lot of action. Most of the covers do have to actually have the Wolverine flying in on top of them,
mm-hmm.
and has some of the other members in the background. Nightcrawler, like the Vindicator, you can kind of see them in the background. But yeah, it'll catch your attention.
Yeah, it's. I agree. I think it's a dynamic cover. I've always been a fan of covers that do show you what's going to happen in the issue. Some covers are more symbolic than others, and then some covers just straight up say, "Hey,
it's gonna be fine.
This is going to happen in the issue," and that's totally what happened in the issue. So, and again, John Byrne is a very famous penciler. I don't know if you know a lot about artists.
Really.
No, you didn't follow that much.
No.
But yeah, he's very famous, very talented. Yeah, I agree. The cover looks great. I even like the color work is good. I think it's very vibrant. It's got a lot of, you know,
yeah,
when he goes white and Wolverine, yeah, he's in his brown outfit in this issue, if I remember correctly. And of course, Nightcrawler. So you get a lot of balance of colors, which is pretty fantastic. So was there anything you didn't like about the cover? Any downsides? Anything you're like,
no, not really.
Nah.
I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, it's pretty popping. There's nothing wrong with that cover. Going to the interior artwork that John did. What are your thoughts and feelings on the interior art?
Again, you know, I thought it was fine, good detail and everything. Again, used a lot of color in there. Yeah, I liked the artwork.
Did anything in it? Did you ever find the artwork distracting? Was there anything in it that you thought was?
No, not really. I didn't find anything distracting on there.
So nothing that was bad.
Just right. I didn't see anything bad.
Once again, it's John Byrne, folks. So there's nothing. Anything there that's bad. Okay, so artistically speaking, I have a suspicion this is going to fall hand in hand with your favorite story moment, but artistically speaking, what's your favorite moment in the book?
It could be the fight.
Yeah,
it's fight scene.
John Byrne drew a real dynamic one. I'm kind of peeking over Clint's shoulder at the comic right now. There's a lot of great dynamic motion and action going on. Ah, geez. You got a favorite panel? Anything in there that grabs you? Putting you on the spot, I know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, not necessarily.
Yeah, there's a lot of good
stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff.
He's drawn a lot of good motion. I'm looking over his shoulder. I see, like, Wendigo, like, basically just tossing. tossing Nightcrawler across the
crushing Wolverine to the ground.
Yeah, that crushing Wolverine to the ground picture is kind of cool. Yeah. That fight scene is just great.
Really good.
There's a lot of good panel work in there, folks. If I could take any page out of this book, you know, and get the original artwork to hang on my wall. Funny enough, I don't know if I would take the fight scene per se, any of the fight scene stuff, even though it's great. I really like that first page, with Colossus pulling up that tree.
That is a good page. I like that picture.
Yeah, it's just really cool.
Yeah.
It's just really dynamic and. A lot of motion to it. It displays strength well. Yeah, the Colossus picture.
Yeah, I like that picture too.
Plenty of good art to be found in the book. So, let's talk about just the peripherals, the extras that are in there. By that I mean the ads or anything else, you know, sort of non-comic related, especially focusing on the advertisements and stuff. Is there anything in there that sort of brought back memories for you?
Oh, definitely. Right, yeah, the advertisements for the Saturday morning cartoons, the Space Ghost.
Space Ghost!
Mm-hmm.
Herculoids.
That definitely
brought me back to my.
NBC Saturday morning lineup.
Right, the Godzilla.
Up from the depths, 30 stories high, breathing fire, his hand in the sky. Godzilla, 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 and Godzilla.
Mud Hour.
Flashing through the sky, he's a go-go guy. Stronger than a train with a so-so brain.
You talking about me, Blue Falcon? Gosh.
He's fearless, scareless, a little too careless. Dynamite! He's a go-go dog person.
That's me, dog. Wonder.
He's fearless, careless, a little too careless. Dynamite. He's a go-go dog person.
That's me, dog. Wonder.
That Godzilla Dynamite. What do you say? Herculoids?
Herculoids, Space Ghost.
Space Ghost, yes.
Yeah.
Looking at that ad, Space Ghost is probably my favorite cartoon of that lineup. Dude, which one's your favorite cartoon of the NBC lineup?
The NBC was probably Space Ghost. This is ABC.
And now you've got the ABC.
Yeah, lineup. It has, you know, the Justice League, Super Friends.
Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman and Robin, Aquaman, Black Vulcan, Samurai, Apache Chief, El Dorado. Together they form the world's greatest force, dedicated to truth, peace, and justice for all mankind. These are the Super Friends.
Right, Super Friends.
On there, they had Richie Rich, Scooby-Doo. But I like the Super Friends. I was a big Justice League guy back then in the cartoon.
Yeah, I don't know a kid that didn't watch it. Now, I think on the bottom right of the ABC, that's the ABC ad.
Yes.
On the bottom right, that's Thundar
the Barbarian.
The Barbarian.
Thundar the Barbarian. The year 1994. From out of space comes a runaway planet, hurtling between the Earth and the Moon, unleashing cosmic destruction. Man's civilization is cast in ruin. 2,000 years later, Earth is reborn. A strange new world rises from the old. A world of savagery, super science, and sorcery. But one man bursts his bonds to fight for justice. With his companions, Ookla the Mock and Princess Ariel, he pits his strength, his courage, and his fabulous sun sword against the forces of evil. He is Thundar, the Barbarian.
Which I loved, which I think somebody somewhere was like, lightsabers are cool and Conan is cool. Let's put the two of those things together. Thundar the Barbarian. I was just on another podcast. I was on the Longbox Crusade with Pat Sampson recently. We were talking about these ads. Funny thing is, on the Longbox Crusade, the only ad in that book, which was also from 1980, was the CBS ad, which is not in this book.
It's not in this book.
We have NBC and ABC, and then the other book I did with Pat Sampson had CBS. And we were just sort of looking at the cartoons. And was there any cartoons in there on the, either one of those lineups that you didn't remember at all?
Yeah, I did not remember the Happy Days.
The Happy Days cartoon. Yeah,
I did not remember that at all.
I'm very vague on that, too.
We got it all together now, gang. The Fonz. His doggy name, Mr. Cool, and the Good Group. One flaky time machine, and a future chick named Cupcake. Oh, now the gang got zapped into that time machine, and they're like traveling through time. They do not think where that machine is going, but they sure hope to get back to 1957 Milwaukee.
Can you dig it?
Yeah!
I imagine it probably just didn't last very long.
Yeah.
It looked like, what are they, like in space?
Yeah,
or
space or time travels or something. Yeah, I just did not remember that at all.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. And just like we talked about when I talked with Pat on Longbox Crusade about this, what's I think is really neat about the cartoon ads is that is something that's lost to time. Because remember, like, when we were kids, we'd see those ads, and we would be planning out our Saturday. We were like,
right,
okay, I'm going to watch this, then I'm going to watch this, and then I'm going to watch this. And the kids today,
they don't have that.
I don't know if they do Saturday morning cartoons. Because, like, it's everything's on demand or Netflix or whatever. So, like, kids watch cartoons when they want to.
Yep.
Like, we had to make this big plan.
Right.
We had to be like, okay, you know, at 7 I'm watching this, and I'm flipping over to this at 7:30, and then at 8 I'm watching this. And kids today, they don't know the struggle.
No, they do not.
But you know what else they don't know? They don't know the joy. It's just like I was talking on Longbox Crusade about this. You remember how, like, every Saturday morning was almost like Christmas?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You woke up excited. You're like, yeah, it's Saturday, and we'll run down and watch cartoons, and I've got my plan made. And I don't think kids do that anymore.
They don't do that anymore.
I think they straight up sleep on Saturday.
I know they don't do that anymore.
A 10-year-old, and he doesn't get up all excited on Saturday morning. You've got a daughter who's...
I have a 19-year-old, and she never gets up excited.
She's never woke up excited. She, I guess she never really went through the...
No, never did.
The cartoon phase. Yeah. I think they just died out. It's just funny how, like, anybody going back and looking at this old X-Men 140 will see these ads and go, oh, these the cartoons are on, and that's neat, but... They don't. Younger people might not realize how important those ads were to us.
Yeah.
I got to plan out my Saturday.
Exactly. That was Saturday. That was television.
You had to make some hard decisions. You'd have to be like, am I going to watch Herculoids? Am I going to watch Thundar the Barbarian? I don't know. You know, it was a hard life.
It was a hard life.
What other ads from the book, if any sort of jumped out at you, brought back memories?
Let's see. Flipping through to get to the ad pages. The little fruit pies, I remember seeing those.
Oh, the Hostess
ads? Yeah, the Hostess fruit pies ads. They had those in the comics.
Yeah, this X-Men 140's got one of the Iron Man ones.
Yep.
There was Iron Man ones. There was Mr. Fantastic ones. What's Iron Man selling? I think he was selling, like, apple pie or cherry pie.
Yes, both. They have apple and the cherry.
Apple and cherry pie. You know what thing that's funny about those ads is when you're real little, before you kind of figure this stuff out, like when you're 4 or 5 or 6, those ads are so well drawn that sometimes you think it's a continuation of the story. And then, like, you get to the end, you're like, oh, dang it, they got me. They totally tricked me into reading an ad about fruit pies, which isn't necessarily a bad
thing. And I remember the old Grit magazine.
Grit magazine? Do you know anyone who's ever sold Grit?
No.
I don't either.
No.
But they were, like, in ads for years and years, so they must have lasted for a while. But I, to this day, don't know anyone who sold Grit.
Yeah.
Any listeners out there, if you sold Grit, hit me up on the Twitter or the Facebooks and let me know about that. Because I see ads for all the time. Don't know anybody who did it. I see the Grit ad is right across from what we kind of call the flea market ad.
Okay. I remember the Incredible Hulk of a Man in 7 Days, the Charles Atlas picture.
I remember that in all
of the comics.
Yes. Charles Atlas program showed up in all of them. Like that one, and then like, down from him is like the self-defense.
I remember that one.
Guy.
Right. And the Marvel down at the bottom would have the Thor-looking character.
Yep.
Down at the bottom, advertising the Marvels. Yeah, I do remember all of those from the comics. And I used to look
at them. Yeah, they really did the whole be a hunk of a man and big muscle and get self-defense. And they were definitely targeting kids with low self-esteem.
I guess that's who was reading comic books. I guess so.
I find it funny that you look at that, and there's definitely that stigma of kids who read comics really, really nerdy and, you know, got beat up a lot, you know. And I guess I'm just
lucky that I was never like bullied for it. I doubt that you were.
No, no. Because everybody was doing it back
then. Yeah, like everybody read comics, so it's kind of weird that it was these. But the advertisers were like pretty certain that we were the kind of people that needed it. But I don't know. Yeah, they definitely were pushing self-defense, kung fu, karate, and working out. But hey, it must work because you work out a lot, right? And then I do the self-defense classes, so I guess
something probably
in the end, they got us both.
Yeah, they got us.
So yeah, there are some great ads in there that'll take you back. Anything else on the issue that you wanted to talk about? Anything about the ad? Anything in the story? Anything in the art? Anything in the ads? We cover it pretty well.
I think we've covered it pretty well.
Okay. We'll be right back after our second and final podcast promo break to get Clint's final thoughts on the issue and his verdict, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, and I'm also the art director over at White Rocket Books. Quick question, what do you get when you take a fast-paced Alistair MacLean novel, put it in a blender with a Star Trek DVD, and some G.I. Joe figures? I'm pretty sure you get award-winning sci-fi novelist Van Allen Plexico's first foray into the world of comics, a new comic miniseries based on Plexico's novella, Cold Lightning. Cold Lightning is a small part of Plexico's expansive space opera series of novels called The Shattering. Now, real quick, I want to give a quick heartfelt thank you to all the folks who helped us reach our crowdfunding goal over on GoFundMe. We are so excited to get this comic series underway. Now, depending on when you hear this ad, we're either still working away on this space adventure, or it may be available already. The best way to find out is to head over to whiterocketbooks.com and see what the latest is. While you're there, you can look into all the novels of the Shattering series or Plexico's very popular Sentinels novel series. There's plenty to see, so come check us out. Once again, that's whiterocketbooks.com.
And we're back. All right, as promised, now that we're back from our most recent podcast promo break, we're going to go straight to the verdict with we've got our normie here, Clint Head. He's going to tell us what he thought of X-Men, Uncanny X-Men number 140 from 1980, just jumping into it to a cold. Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how well did this X-Men comic draw you into the universe? And by that, did you feel, how well did it welcome you in? Like, if you felt really lost, give it a 1. If you felt like you really knew what was going on, give it a 10 or find a number.
Okay, I'll tell you, probably about a 7.
7? Okay, yeah. That's a pretty solid job bringing you in.
Yeah, I think it did. You got the idea of the group of the X-Men. And talk a little bit about the backstory of Wolverine, just a little. And then, again, kind of getting the idea that he's relatively new still. So, yeah, I think they did a relatively good job bringing you into it.
Good, good. And just on another 1 to 10 scale, how would you rate just the overall entertainment value of the book?
I'd give it about an 8. I think it was a good read. It was an easy read, a lot of action in it, not hard to follow. I liked it. I thought it was a good book.
Do you find yourself, now that you've read 140, like a burning desire to read 141, or if someone left it laying around and you had spare time, you'd read it, you know?
If I had spare time, I would read it, but I don't think I'd go out of my way to look for it.
Okay, so it's not like heroin, you don't need another hit immediately.
Yeah.
But if someone provided
it
to you.
If it came across, I'd read it. Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, cool. This round brings us about to the end of our show. I want to thank Clint for being a guest on the show.
No problem.
Taking time out of his day to do something he doesn't normally do, which is read a comic book and give us his thoughts. Feel free, any listeners out there, to drop us your thoughts and comments. The best place to do that is on the Twitter or on the Facebook. You can look us up. The easiest way to get in touch with us is probably on Twitter, with the @Normies podcast. That's NORMIES podcast. That's the easiest way. And we'll also have a Normies podcast site up on Facebook, so you can also comment there. Thanks again to Clint for being here. Clint, you don't have any internet endeavors at this time, so you don't have anything you need to plug.
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
All right. As usual, you can find me at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, also Yard Sale Artist on Facebook. You can check out my website, theyardsaleartist.com. I also have a Yard Sale Artist blog spot. Also the art director for White Rocket Books, so you can always go over to whiterocketbooks.com and see what cool stuff is going on over there. So I'm just all over those internets. Come out and find me. Let's hang out. Let's have a good time. And we will catch you on the next episode of Comics with Normie. Say goodbye to the folks, Clint.
See ya.
Later on, folks. This episode's outro music is a jam called Cool Out and Listen. This music and all other sound engineering for Comics with Normies is provided by musical genius Joe November. Be sure to check Joe out on SoundCloud, Twitter, and Facebook using the handle Joseflin99. That's Joseflin99. Joe's got a lot of music out there. I highly recommend it. He's crazy talented, and he's a great sound engineer. Check out Joseflin, and we'll see you around. As a reminder, folks, if you have any comments or questions, or if you just want to follow us on the social media, you can follow us over on Twitter at Normies Podcast, N-O-R-M-I-E-S Podcast. You can also follow me personally over on Twitter. I am at Yard Sale Artist. Or if you're more of a Facebook kind of person, you can follow us at Comics with Normies. That's our podcast page. Or you can follow me personally at Yard Sale Artist. Again, questions, comments, just want to be part of the show, let me know. I'm happy to read the comments and the questions that we get on future episodes.